So the band's latest album, Run Thick in the Night, it will be soon released through New Rad Recordings. Can you tell us a little bit more about the ideas and the concept behind this release?
Yeah, it's already out right now. This week, I would say probably the most dominant themes are like lunar cycles, you know, things you can see from in the night sky. At night, you know, and there's a lot of things you can connect to that, and there's a lot of things that connections you could probably draw, you know. There's a lot of references, if you listen to it, pay attention to it, there's a lot of things that are repeated throughout, and there's just a lot of references to ways that people project themselves into the natural world. You know, the things that, you know, we've always, you know, human beings have all seen themselves, you know, in nature, you know, in the sky, you know, for example, like constellations, you know, like abstract shapes that we see and all that stuff, you know, this means something to us, you know, and pretty, you know, set out to, like, make a statement. I just sort of realized, you know, a lot of my thoughts were tied into this central theme, and it was just something I was very interested in, and just something I was absorbed in at the time, and kind of comforting to me in a way. You know, it's dark, but it's not necessarily a negative album at all. It's very abstract. People seem to be getting, things I've read. A lot of people that are thoughtful and that put, you know, and that listen. You know, a lot of people have hit some things on the head, you know, and that makes me happy.
And musically, what were you guys shooting for, and what do you guys wanted to make differently from your last album?
Well, I mean, you know, I play the same way. As far as guitar, I'm pretty self-indulgent. I play stuff I want to hear. We're able to sort of mix it up sonically, you know, with the dual drums is really cool, and the violin was always something that Matt and I wanted, you know, some sort of like either cello or violin, you know, in the music. It really worked really well, and you know, that's a permanent part of it now. The bass stuff that Josh is doing, it really takes up a lot of the. It takes the place of a lot of the modular synth stuff that had been on it before, you know, and he really does a lot of cool drone stuff that's sonically compatible, I think, with what we're doing, you know, it's on the same note, it's in the same, what you might call a key, I don't know, but it seems to fill in, you know, everything really well, especially live, you know, it creates a bridge between one, from one song to the next, and I really like that a lot. You know, I'm real proud of these Hollow Dogs, and I like, you know, what we did on that. We don't really set out to say, okay, well, we're going to do something different this time. You know, it's a kind of a natural progression from one thing to the next. It's definitely a continuation, you know, in ways, you know, if you pay attention to some of the words, you know, in some of the themes, you know, there's a bridge between the Hollow Dogs and Run Thick in the Night for sure. You know, there's a new album done already called The Valley Path, and you know, and it's another continuation, a different take, but a continuation.
And what are you? I mean, how do you feel now about the songs? I mean, like you can see that. I mean, this album was recorded basically last year, and it's being released a year later. What do you think that your perspectives changed in how the songs work now? Do you think that, I mean, like a musician, you think, oh, maybe we should have done a little bit different this and this song? Or
no, and I don't think it's good to second guess yourself. But I hear what you're saying, and really, like, they are what they are in the moment. You know, if you've ever seen, for example. You know, I've noticed in a lot of musicians I admire, if you've ever seen Bob Dylan play live, you know, he never does things the same way. He'll play songs in a completely different way. And I've heard him say in interviews that he thinks the songs exist in that moment, and songs are in the moment things. They're not permanent things, and that's what makes them special. They're you know, they exist for a brief moment, and if you can record that, that's cool. You know, and that's the way I look at it. You know, they change, and the song will change without us making any deliberate, you know, attempt to do that. They just sort of change every time. They work their way into our subconscious, and, you know, we don't really talk about it a lot when we play. You know, we won't say, well, we're going to do this different this night. You know, it just sometimes it just happens, you know. And if you try to fight that, I think you kill a big part of what makes the music special. you know, just having it be a little bit of a wild card and a little bit out of control, you give a little bit of control over to some other force. And there's definitely something going on, not just in our music, I think, but just in all true music. You know, there's a force that you can't quite control, and that's cool.
So, I mean, in the songwriting aspect then, I mean, do you guys just start jamming and it just comes along, or how do you guys, you know, get into the same groove of playing what everybody's happy with?
Yeah. Well, Run Thick in the Night was done pretty much, you know, the music that came in for that recording and that are in the band now, they had the room to move around and to do the things they wanted to do, but the songs and the structure and the idea in the album was pretty much constructed. And sort of the same is said for the Valley Path, the record that we did in August. It was something that an idea that I'd had for a long time, and we were able to make it a real thing. I think that the next album that we're going to work on is going to be more with that, you know, something where everybody, you know, puts their own ideas in from the start of the creative process, and, you know, and we've talked about that, and they're all definitely very capable of doing that, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that's going to play out. It's weird, you know, with songwriting, to be too much of a perfectionist and to try to dictate too much control is, like I said before, it's going to kill part of it, you know. You kind of got to let go and let things happen. And we've done that, and cool things happen when you do that. Yeah, the future is definitely, you know, going to be interesting in terms of songwriting, and I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a while before that happens. It'll probably about a year.
And how has it been working with Neura Recordings? How do they handle, I mean, your band business?
They're really good, man. Steve from Neurosis is, you know, the guy that I've dealt with the most in terms of, like, the business of it. You know, Scott to some degree, but, you know, and all of those guys are really supportive, and they want what's best for the artist. You know, they want you to do what is going to be best for you long term. You know, they don't make any demands. They don't, you know, they don't get in the way of what you're doing. They more or less facilitate what you're doing and support you in what you decide to do. And that's really good. And I can ask for, you know, a better label. You know, they're going to be our primary label as far as I'm concerned. You know, as long as we're both going. You know, Relapse is putting out the double LP of Run Thick in the Night, and that was something that was facilitated, you know, by Steve, you know, and something that was, you know, is totally cool. I'm Better Than Everyone Records did the vinyl for Eat the Low Dog, and that was cool too, you know. Very much a cooperative thing. And I don't think a lot of labels would do that. You know, a lot of labels, I think, want to get a stranglehold on a band and keep that band and, you know, and do things that maybe not even aren't really in the band's interest. And definitely Neura, I think, was created in direct opposition to that type of thing. You know, they wanted, and they were very genuine and sincere when they started the label. You know, we're going to do something to make it better. You know, for the artists, we're going to do something to give people, you know, a reasonable, fair deal. You know, they don't promise you a moon and stars, and, you know, they don't promise you $1 million. You know, that wouldn't be, you know, that wouldn't be realistic or honest or even admirable. they say, you know, well, we're gonna help you guys, and they said that from the start, and they've definitely fulfilled that promise. They're really good people, and it's just been an honor to work with them. I don't think I'll ever lose my appreciation for that. It's just something that if I could have picked any label in the world to be on, it would have been Neuron, and that's what happened. So. I'm pretty happy about it. Those mats, with everybody in the band.
And, I mean, in terms of fan base, I mean, the band seems to have, like, a bigger fan base outside of the stage. What do you think that's due?
I think it's due to, I don't know, man. There's good people in the United States, and there's definitely a lot of support for us here. When we went to Europe, man, it was totally different. You know, they knew our songs. They came to shows. They were just, some of these kids drove, you know, not kids, adults, you know, a lot of people drove a long way to see us play show, and they were really just happy to do it, you know. There is a sense of apathy, not necessarily so much among fans in the States, but definitely among clubs. You know, the way that you're treated over there is vastly superior to the way that you're treated in the States. You know, in Europe, they make sure that bands, you know, this was true every place we went. You know, they made sure you had food, they made sure you had a place to stay, and they made sure you were comfortable and relatively secure, you know. and that helped a lot. You don't get that in the States, and I really don't know why. It does make it so that you don't really want to. I don't really feel, you know, as far as in terms of touring in the States, you know, I look at it as like survival. You know, are we gonna make it tonight? You know, or are we gonna freeze? Or are we gonna be out in the cold? Or are we gonna be, you know, we've woken up in the band, sitting upright, you know, neck cramped, you know, just because we didn't have a place to stay. You know, we've slept in filth. You know, and you know, you have to guard your van so that people don't rob you. You know, and that's the way touring is in the States, and it's not that way overseas.
And do you think that also that has to do with the kind of music that you guys play, since your sound is very peculiar compared to other bands that are more, well, directed to a more user, a listener-friendly fan base?
Maybe. I don't really know how those bands, I don't really know what their reality is. We're always with people that share our same circumstances, it seems like, you know. It's not, you know, like, for example, Baroness, who were extremely popular, you know, in the States, you know, they took us out. You know, it's hard for them too, you know. And a lot of people come to their shows, you know, we lived like they did, you know, we maintained the same schedule, you know, every day we're looking for a place. Where we're going to sleep, we don't really know. And I don't really know about other, you know, I know what you're saying. There's a whole other demographic that I'm not very familiar with, and I don't know how they live.
Will you guys ever consider, like, sharing, you know, a tour bill with some completely radically different band that's more listener-friendly?
Well, we do that a lot, but I mean, I don't know if they're more listener friendly. I mean, we tour with all different types of bands. It's like, I don't know. Like, if Disturbed asked us to play with them on tour, we would say no. We'd be like, no. You know, or Slipknot or something, like, no, sorry. I don't think we would do it, no matter how much or how good it was, you know, how much, it, you know. Yeah, we're not going to get, we can't be bought that way, but. You know, and I don't necessarily, you know, I don't think that many bands would. You know, their integrity is not in short supply. You know, there's a lot of bands with integrity, and I could name, you know, pretty much anybody that we're associated with. You know, they're all good people. I don't know what the correlation is, but it's definitely there.
And I mean, changing gears a little bit and going into the band's peculiar sound. How do you guys decided to craft music this way? Since you have little influences of, like, the southern rock, southern metal, then you have some other older psychedelic stuff. What made you guys, you know, bring things together that way?
I think it just came together that way, and most of it's subconscious, you know, it's just manifesting itself through just an open attitude toward music. You know, we put new limitations on what we're doing, and like we don't sit around and say, well, we're going to be this way or that way. You know, we don't spend a lot of time doing that. We spend more time when we're together just playing, you know. And if we like the way it sounds, then that's cool, you know. And, everybody's got a lot of different interests. This is going to do with it, too.
And do you personally, like, get newer influences from newer bands, or you just try to, you know, limit your options of what you like to listen to?
Not really, man. I mean, I don't ever make any conscious decisions like that. You know, we've never had any kind of reason to limit ourselves. It wouldn't serve any purpose. We just sort of live life like we want to, and I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I can listen to what we're doing, and you know, sometimes I'll see, well, yeah, it's just probably because I heard this record or that record. I can see why I might have done that, but a lot of times, man, it's years go by before I'll realize how somebody influenced me or made me want to do something. You know, sometimes I'll hear a line. I can't think of anything right now, but sometimes, you know, I'll hear a song and I'll say, okay, yeah, that I hear where that idea took root, you know. I'm aware, you know, of some of my personal huge influences, you know, like Brett from Caustic Resin, Bill Pastille, guitar player. Yeah, dude, I mean, I've made, you know, a conscious effort to watch that dude play and to sort of, you know, if he makes, you know, the sounds he makes, and, you know, this is years and years, you know, this has been going on for years, you know, like, because I've been obsessed with that band for a long time. But, you know, I'm aware of that, you know, and like Neil Young, I mean, it's really easy to hear the way I play, how, you know, like with open chords and sort of, you know, over-the-top distortion and those, you know, that type of sort of jangly, you know, heavy thing he does, you know, yeah, that's pretty obvious, you know, to hear that. There's a lot of things, little things that just sort of weave their way in. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but it's hard for me to articulate it.
And I mean, where do you see the band taking you, and you taking the band in the future?
Hopefully, we'll just be able to keep doing our thing. You know, maybe make it work so we can do things without going into debt. I think that would be cool to be able to. You know, I don't have any illusions about making a lot of money at this or really even supporting ourselves at this or making it full-time. I don't know if I'd want it to be a job like that. You know, it needs to be sort of an escape from the difficult things in life. And long-term, you know, I just hope we can keep going and keep making records like we're making. I still feel I don't have any trouble coming up with ideas. We have an abundance of ideas. Matt has a bunch of really good song ideas right now, and you know, I'm sure like Josh, Meg, all those guys, they all have ideas, you know. And as long as we can sort of keep going and you know, make a record, we don't necessarily have to tour exhaustively for that, you know. I like making records. I really like it more than touring. I think we all like that, you know. It's fun to play shows, but it's to see the ideas come together and become real, you know, and be proud of it, you know, that's really cool. The future holds that, man. I'm happy.
And what do you think about all these bands that they focus more on the studio aspect, but more on the production side, and they end up sounding, you can call it amazing in live setting, but that's not really true. What are your thoughts on bands like that?
You mean like spending a month or 2 months or a year in the studio and then trying to reproduce that on stage and not pulling it off?
Yeah, and they also use like a lot of Pro Tools and a lot of stuff to make it shine and polish it too much.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's not going to work, you know. More power to anybody making a record. They're trying to make their ideas real, but I think it's a mistake to try to fake it or to take an easy way. or to try to make somebody else happy, you know, to try to make a label happy or to try to make a fan base happy or whatever, you know, you're not going to be very happy with that down, you know, in the long run. I think if you are sort of selfish and say, well, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I don't really care what anybody thinks, you know, if you look back on it, you're going to feel better about yourself. And that's really all that matters, you know. Having you know, self-respect, I think, is more important to us than anything else. And definitely, since we, you know, the focus that all the bands that we know, you know, have, and that's good. It's worth, you know, for our, you know, Neurosis are like, I see those guys as like our mentors, you know, and not in a way to where they say do this or do that or get better at this or that, you know. They don't do it like that, but they seem to be very, very fulfilled, you know, musically fulfilled, you know, and that's, and they've got their respect, and people respect them, and, you know, they, in that respect, have inspired a lot of bands, you know, like, for example, Mastodon, you know, they've always said, you know, that was one of the cornerstones, one of the bands that they look to, you know, to, you know, and it's worked out for them. You know, they seem to be very genuinely focused on the albums they want to make, and, you know, taking risks or, you know, changing, God forbid, you know, like evolving, you know, and that's, yeah, you know, that's admirable. Anybody that does that, got my respect.
And do you think that your whole views of music and what you want to do will someday become what people are not want to hear from you? That, I mean, you whole, you know, like you say, your selfishness is going to get too much to the point that you're going to make something completely unlistenable.
You mean like I'm going to be like Richie Blackmore playing at like Renaissance Fairs? Like,
yep.
No, I don't think that. I'm too focused on heavy guitar, bluesy stuff, dark stuff. No, man, I'm, you know, my spectrum is a huge, you know, and I think that I'm totally happy doing that. You know, I don't, you know, I realize a lot of the songs that, you know, that I write, they're based on a real, you know, like simple chord structure, you know, minor chords, you know, power chords, simple blues box, lead, slide stuff. I'm totally selfish when it comes to that. Like, I like hearing that. It's fun to play it. You know, I don't really. I mean, you know, like, I've heard people say, you know, that, you know, well, you know, we, you know, that the new album is different than the last. Well, it's true. But, you know, it's definitely, you hear it, you know what band that is if you've heard us before. And, you know, I'm not that technically proficient. I can't, you know, I'm limited to what I can play, you know. And to some degree, you know, that's just because, you know, I'm pretty single-minded and, you know, and I'm just not interested in learning anything. You know, like, familiar with the Hill Country blues players like Oriel Burnside, Junior Kimbrough, T. Model Ford, guys like that, you know, they always resisted being taught how to play differently because they didn't play, especially Junior Kimbrough, they didn't really play in a way that made any sense to anybody, you know, but when you heard what he sounded like, people loved it, you know, and I think it seems like somebody said in an interview I've seen that people would the Oxford and try to teach him how to play, like offering free lessons. I think it's in that movie You See Me Laugh, and somebody says that, and he was always like, "Nah, why would I do that? why, you know, this is how I play." You know, somebody told us, "No, I'm not trying to figure out how to play like that." That's how, you know, having the guts to like stick to your own voice, you know, which is over time is an admirable thing, and you end up building putting your stamp on the world, you know, like, you know, I don't really know exactly how people would describe my style of playing, but it's not very complex, but it seems to be pretty hard anyway, you know, people always, how do you get the guitar to sound like that, but really no science to it. Most of the tone's in your hands, you know. People tell you that, and it's true. It really is. Like, somebody can play through, like, say, my rig, you know, you could probably take, like John or Pete from Baroness. They have a real distinct way of playing, and I don't have any idea how they do that, but I guarantee you they could get those sounds through my equipment. It's in their hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is there any other, like closing remarks you want to say to the people that are waiting for this album and want to buy it, and they're following the band, waiting for some more tour dates in the U.S.?
We're going to do some more in the Southeast this winter. We might, when we get some time off built up, we might do some more tour dates in the States. We're talking about, I think everybody would like to go to Europe and play some, because that was a real fulfilling thing to do. We're going to do that when we can, you know. I encourage, you know, it really helps us out to buy the record, you know. It's you know, stealing so rampant, you know, it helps a lot just to buy it from Neurod or from us or whatever. And, you know, mainly, you know, if anybody's listening, just, you know, thanks to, you know, anybody that's put us up, whether giving us a support. You know, put our records out, giving us gear. You know, I'm finishing up an interview right now. It's just about gear, just about the gear we use, and I'll be putting that up on our, when the dude publishes it, I'll put that on our Facebook page, and that's a big thanks to, because there's a lot of people that do support us, and I'd be afraid I'd leave somebody out if I started naming names. Yeah, man, we're really fortunate. We're a fortunate band. I feel really fortunate personally. Maybe if we can do that for somebody else someday, you know. If there's some band right now, little kids right now, maybe, or something, when I get older, I can give them a boost.